Hey, everybody, I'm Darryl Weber, and I was the host of Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree here on the Phil Henry Show. I know you all love that show, and I love Phil Henry because he is a talented mother. And by the way, he made me up. I would not be here today. I would not be a man today. Not for the fact that Phil Henry made me up, created me, and does me. And when I say he does me good. So that's how he do his show. And now let Phil talk at you.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Where's the guy? Okay, we're doing open phones here. And we're talking, as you know, about the China situation. That is the ramifications of conversations that we may be having on returning our hardware from the Chinese. Let's go over here to Lancaster. We got Lancaster there. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Mr. Henry, I want to talk with you about something. I hope you won't hang up on me because I listen to all the talk radio.
Well, we'll see whether I hang up on you, okay?
I hear a lot of the talk radio people hang up on the callers if they think they're way off base, and all I hear is them naming a bit of nonsense at the man, at the host, and I'm wondering if you'll all allow me to make some sense.
Go ahead, make some sense. I mean, I can't guarantee I'm not going to hang up on you, all right?
All right, that's fair enough, but if you let me say my piece.
Go ahead.
I have followed the China plane situation. They are not giving us the plane back. Everyone in the world knows that America, and this is very unfortunate, but everybody knows what a racist place America is. We have got to make that work for us.
And what do you mean everybody knows what a racist place America is?
I've traveled in parts of the Orient when I was in the service. And they look at America, they say America is racist. Now, that's not my opinion. That's their opinion. But I think we need to make that work for us in terms of how the country views us. The man I think they should send over there to get the plane back is our Secretary of State, Colin Powell.
Colin Powell is the Secretary of State. Although, Mike, haven't they sent him over? They haven't, according to him.
No, sir, they have not. He is.
Why Colin Powell? I mean, even though he's the Secretary of State, why can't he have lower-level diplomats work this out?
This is the point that I'm trying to make. He is a veteran. He is a diplomat. And I think it's time we look at something else that he has going for him that we are all too familiar with in the United States, and that is the natural fear or the natural competition that Orientals have with black people. And the people.
The Asian people and black people what?
Because of the natural competition and fear that Orientals have for black people.
What are you talking about? Are you saying?
Well, let me tell you.
Are you talking about like the Koreans and the blacks in the neighborhoods?
Let me tell you, in many of the black neighborhoods today, Korean liquor stores, delicatessens have opened, and those Koreans get wet pants scared of some young black punk coming in and robbing them, and you know they've shot a few of them during the riots, and the Koreans like to soil themselves when they saw that black folks hightailing it down the street with a TV set. I know it sounds racist.
Yes, sir, it does. Very much so. That the Koreans and black people don't get along, so let's send Colin Powell to China, and what? They'll pull a gun on him?
No, sir, I'm saying that they might be intimidated enough of a African-American whereby they might want him out of there or whatever, and that they would give to us what we're looking for. I'm trying to get this country to capitalize on its strengths.
Well, that's not a strength to be perceived internationally as a racist country. It's not a strength to be perceived internationally as people that, you know, have problems with each other, okay?
Well, we've got to use what we have to get the hardware back. If the sight of Powell walking into a room by himself doesn't scare the Chinese, those Orientals will be scared. I wonder why our government doesn't understand that a little bit better. Do you know, Mr. Henry, if they've made contacts on that high level?
No, they have not made those contacts. Colin Powell has not gone to China. And certainly if they sent Colin Powell to China, I don't know that it's going to be because they figure blacks scare Orientals. And
do you deny that there's a problem in the black neighborhoods with the Oriental liquor stores?
With the Oriental liquor stores? I don't know. I know that there have been. I don't know that it is absolutely across the board. Let's get back to this idea that Asians are naturally afraid of blacks. Why is that?
When the Orientals first came to America, the blacks was already here, and it was a social pecking order deal. You don't just just up and come over here and get the good jobs, whether it's parking cars or sweeping up without waiting your turn. First it was the Irish, then the blacks, and now the Orientals. And they're afraid the blacks will take the good liquor stores from them.
And that's why Asians are afraid of blacks.
I believe so. And I
think this whole phenomenon is ridiculous, race being naturally, races being afraid of each other. What about the whites? What are we afraid of, okay? So you're talking about...
the white people...
Hold on, you're talking about... You're talking about a problem in the inner city between Korean deli owners and liquor store owners and some of the black neighborhood. It's not to say I don't believe. For instance, whites, what are we naturally afraid of?
Well, the white people are afraid of Indians because that goes back to covered wagon days. And the fear that the Indian would take your kid...
Oh, come on.
No, sir. The fear that the Indian would take your kid and raise him as a red man, just like in Dances with Wolves. The Indian, because he is Asiatic in origin, is also afraid of blacks.
And where do you substantiate all of this?
Well, there's a couple of very interesting books, The Nature of Man by Dahlgren Fleming and Dawn of Time by Robert Nugent.
And The Nature of Man?
Nature of Man by Dahlgren Fleming.
And what's the other book?
Dawn of Time by Robert. In those books, they outline why white people are afraid of Indians and also... why Asian Orientals don't want to have nothing to do with blacks, and why then Colin Powell would scare hell out of them if he went over.
All right, hold on for a minute. I'm going to give the phone number.
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Open phones with this gentleman from Lancaster about how we ought to send Colin Powell to get our jet back because Asians are afraid of blacks. Just look at the Korean liquor stores in the inner city. And he claims there's a couple of books. Is this anthropological, sir?
It is, so that if we send Colin Powell to talk to them, they'll go into a sort of a liquor store fear built with without shooting back. They'll know
what do you mean a liquor store fear?
The Oriental will go into kind of a delicatessen fear of Powell.
You say the white man is afraid of the Indian. Then how is it that we've almost completely annihilated Indians if we're afraid of them?
By sheer numbers. And hello, guns. That'll do a lot to decimate a populace, okay? The political correctness that people can't say this, that holds us back. Look, we keep hiding our racism from the rest of the world. They already know America's pretty far gone down the racist road. We might as well let it work for us. And that's what I'm saying. That
let's just be racist and assume that when we send Colin Powell over to China... Asians are afraid of blacks, and they'll give us our plane back.
Yes, they will.
And because they've gone into some kind of a liquor store fear.
I believe that they feel, in other words, they have to protect what's theirs.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. And you base this all on a couple of books by Dahlgren Fleming and Robert Nugent, and that the white man's afraid of the Indian going back to covered wagon days.
Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
Okay, when I go into a casino and I spend my money at an Indian gaming casino, am I afraid of Indians?
I believe there's an innate fear that you're not conscious of. That's why you lose. Because you don't have the balls, if you'll pardon my language.
Yeah, watch your language.
I'm sorry, sir. You don't have the guts to win. Because you're afraid, and I'm being figurative, but you walk out of there with a lot of money, you'll take an arrow in the back.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. This guy wants us to send Colin Powell over to China to get our plane back because Asians have a natural fear of blacks. Just look at the Korean liquor stores. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Okay, you get Austin back here. Your name's Austin, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you think that we ought to send Colin Powell over to Asia because Orientals are afraid of black people, and you base all of this on the fact that they get into it with them at Korean liquor stores.
I think if you open your mind to the possibility that the Asian person is afraid of blacks based upon the fact that they pull a gun practically every time one of them comes in their store. And that,
no, they don't. How do you mean they pull a gun practically every time one of them comes in their store? Look, they got to do business in those neighborhoods, and many of the people are black.
Well, there's something going on there, because every time I turn around, some Korean is shooting a black guy. So they must be crapping in their pants. You send Colin Powell over there, and they'll soil themselves thinking about how they can get this guy out of here. Take the jet and get out of here.
Right. 1-800-449-8686. Jennifer, you there?
Hi.
Yeah. Are you hearing this guy? We're going to find out who agrees with you, Austin.
Who's this?
I think things like that do happen in the inner city, but it's not going to do any good to send that black gentleman over to the Orient to handle that because you don't get that same effect that you do in the inner city.
Yeah, you do.
You understand what I'm saying? That's just like...
you go over to China with a black... Have you ever been to China with a black man?
They're not. They don't have those same feelings.
Hey, Jennifer, shut up for a minute. Have you ever been to China with a black man?
You know what?
Have you ever
heard you speak? It's my turn to speak.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just wondering. You sound like a woman who might have done some traveling with black people. I'm just...
Let her talk.
Okay.
Yeah, yep, you're very rude.
Well, I'm rude. I'm just asking you, how much traveling have you done with black people?
It's not a matter of traveling. Not much.
Have you ever been on the road with black folks?
No.
So you never traveled?
What has that got to do with anything?
Well, if you'd been to China...
You're talking about black Americans.
Yes, ma'am. And
that is totally different than
Indian
Americans.
Well, I was wondering if you...
with the Orientals in the United States...
I was wondering if you'd ever been to...
And the black people is totally different than
Wondering, Jennifer, if you'd ever traveled to China in the company of a black man.
You know what? I went to school, and I got an education, and I studied geography and sociology.
Were there black people in your school?
The sociology class I took was taught with black emphasis at Forest Park and St. Louis Community College.
All right, here's a question, Phil, that I had based on the books Dawn of Time.
Yeah, I got the book.
Okay, Jennifer, you're white, I assume, correct?
Yes.
All right. You're afraid of Indians, aren't you?
I'm not afraid of anybody.
You're not afraid of Indians?
No.
Oh, come on. Everybody,
afraid of an Indian?
Why is she afraid? I'm not afraid of Indians.
Oh, bull crap. Have you ever won at Indian gaming?
No, I haven't.
That proves it. You're willing to leave your money. I'm saying, Jennifer, that I base my theory on basic racial animosities that people
that
have.
That happen in the United States, in inner cities.
Right, because in other words, what Jennifer is saying here, and
I don't need you to interpret it.
Nobody let me say what I wanted to say.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Sure,
I'm sorry.
I believe that happens in the inner city, but you know, you're over on their turf when you're in their country. You know what I'm saying? And that's just like, for an example, you know, people are always saying that that black people in the United States are bitter about slavery and all that, which, yeah, they have reason to be. But over in the Caribbean or, you know, Jamaica or in other countries, that doesn't go on.
Oh,
because
I see.
They haven't
just
had that experience.
Oh, they've never
been
enslaved
in the United States.
They've never been enslaved in Jamaica.
That's what I'm saying.
What geography class did you take now? And what was the name of the school?
Well, Jennifer,
not by American.
Well, there was slavery in Jamaica, Jennifer, and in the Bahamas.
Here. Not here in the United States. That's
yeah, it was
I'm
a lot
saying.
Better down in Jamaica. They had palm fronds and coconut milk to drink. Look, Jennifer, what the heck are you trying to do here? Make me look like a fool? I'm a white man just like you.
No.
You're making the white people look stupid. I'm trying
I'm
to say
anybody look
that
stupid.
If you send Colin Powell over to China, they'll crap in their Mao suits looking at his big black face coming through the door. And then
come on, now you're really starting to sound like a freaking reactionary racist, all right? Crap in their Mao suits.
Well, they will. Do we want that jet back or don't we? Jennifer, you with me on this?
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right, then Colin Powell needs to go over there, just press his face up against the glass. The Chinese will flip, split. We get the jet, we're gone. I bet you...
Yeah, but you know what? They have a lot of honor over there. They're willing to
die.
Yes,
they do. Yes, they do have a lot of honor.
You know, like with the kamikazes and the stuff like that, you know...
Well, those were Japanese.
We're going to go to heaven or hell, most people believe. They die, they're going to go to a better place. They're not afraid to die.
Those were the Japanese, Jennifer. Those weren't Chinese. They were Japanese.
Well, what the hell's the difference? That's right. They all have a hard time seeing through their eyes. Now, look, Jennifer, I bet you tremble at the sight of a wooden Indian in front of a cigar store. Of course you don't, right? Because he's wooden. But the minute that sumbitch comes to life, you crap your drawers. And
what are you talking about?
You don't know what I'm afraid of. I bet you're afraid of black people.
No, ma'am, I'm not. Unless I'm down like we're in their neighborhood, then I'm afraid maybe one of them go
Yeah, where you're outnumbered.
Well, maybe. But I'll tell you this. You're lying to me if you say if you saw a wooden cigar store Indian come to life, you wouldn't soil yourself.
Why would I be afraid of Indians?
No. I'm saying if you saw a wooden Indian come to life.
Well, yeah, maybe if I saw.
There you go. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
No, wait a second. You didn't say she was. She didn't say she was afraid of Indians. She said she was afraid of a wooden Indian coming to life.
That proves that white people are afraid of Indians.
And that doesn't prove crap.
Would you be
afraid? If you think you're going to see a wooden Indian come to life, I'd like to know what kind of LSD trip you're on.
I'm not taking any drugs, dear. What I'm trying to say is you would be afraid.
I'd be afraid, too.
There you go. That's two white people that I've been able to...
That isn't the same thing. Indians don't freak me out. A wooden Indian coming to life...
That'd scare you.
Yes, it would. Oh, what? Case closed?
Case closed.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Case closed. All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sandra on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, whoever this guy is you're talking to, he is about the ignorantest person I've ever heard of.
Ignorantest?
Ignorant.
Would you say the most ignorant? That's how you're supposed to say it.
Just let the lady talk.
The most ignorant. First of all, I have a degree, so don't try to re-educate me. Second of all, you know, you're talking about white men are afraid of this. What are black people afraid of? I am a black married for 28 years, female, with two children, graduating from the top notch of colleges. I'm not afraid of any of you people. Second of all...
Black people are afraid of white people with whips.
Oh, well, come on.
I'll tell you what, baby. You bring me... You come
Indiana
on up here.
Indiana Jones.
You come on up here, and you don't even have to give me a whip.
Now, look. We're getting out of control here, folks. Because, we're talking about something that has nothing to do with this, and it doesn't have to be acrimonious.
Exactly.
I mean... I wasn't talking about you, Sandra. I was saying
You're talking about me in a sense, because you're saying that... First of all, you're talking... You asked the young lady, Jennifer, has she been to Japan? Well, I have.
No, so China. I said China.
Well, if you want to ask any questions about Japan, first of all, there are a lot less racist.
I ain't asking no questions about Japan. I'm asking about...
No, you ask her, has she been to Japan and has she traveled with a black man?
No,
well,
I asked her if she traveled to China with a black man, not Japan. Don't you know the difference between the two damn countries?
Do you know the difference between a whip and a white man with 12 other men around him with a chain trying to act like he's somebody? Put that same white man in the steam room with me, and he ain't nothing.
Put him in a steam room?
Nothing, baby, nothing. Okay?
Well, so, I look at it like
yeah, that whole thing, a white man with a whip, was not funny.
Well, I was just trying to make a joke.
So, yeah, ha-ha.
You know what? The joke is on you, baby, because I'm going to tell you something.
Let me ask you something.
I can put me in the same room with you. I don't need a whip. If I put it like that, I will beat the stew out of you, okay? You don't know nothing. I have my first-degree black belt.
Hey, I know what black people... I know what... Well, look, this is...
For a long time. You've been talking loud and saying
nothing. Now, wait a second. According to the book, The Dawn of Time...
You've been talking loud and saying nothing.
According to the book, The Dawn of Time, black people are...
Let me tell you something. All you can do is throw up a book. Hell with that book.
Yeah, that's all you had to read in college, right? Let's do something other than read books.
Well, what does the book say?
Let me tell you about a book I'm writing.
What's that called? How to Swim?
Don't have anything to be afraid of.
Oh, boy.
Unless it's their own guilt, baby. Their own guilt, okay?
According to the book, The Dawn of Time, black people are afraid of ghosts.
Well, honey, I'm a black woman, and I'm not afraid of any ghosts, okay?
You're not afraid of a ghost?
I ain't afraid of no ghost. You're a ghost.
Do you ever see that show, The Little Rascals?
According to Indians, you're a pale face, so that makes you a ghost.
You ever see that Little Rascals where the buckwheat's hair came out when he saw the ghost?
Okay, now what you're doing is you're just trying...
I also saw a young 16-year-old boy up here got ran over by a truck and half his head rolled off, but he was white and it was nothing funny about that either. So, ha-ha.
Well, guess what? He's a ghost now, isn't he?
Oh, man.
You're
whack, you know?
I bet you're a lonely old man sitting up there. Ain't got nobody to talk to but this radio station.
Well, I'm talking to you.
For having them on as long as they've had you on.
Black people are afraid of cops. That's what...
Okay.
Well, baby, let me tell you something. I got enough cops in my family to make you shudder.
All right, look, I basically hung up on him, Sandra.
He's ignorant, man. I mean, you know, I've listened to you guys' show twice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't understand it yesterday with the Michael Jackson thing, but it's kind of funny in a way.
Yeah.
Today I listened about all that. Gay, and all that.
Yeah.
You know, and then I kind of, you know, kind of got serious. But
you
know,
this idiot.
Pardon me?
He's an idiot. He's an idiot.
No, he's ignorant.
He's ignorant, yeah.
But the funny thing about it is when you start telling people what kind of education they are and where they've been, you know, I've traveled to a lot of places.
Right.
And, you know, don't ever, you know, like I said.
Phil Hendry Show, we got to go. Thanks a lot. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. First of all, in reference to what we just heard, there is a difference between Japan, China, and Korea. Okay, there it's not whatever. You know, I say, well, we're talking about China. We're not talking about Japan. Whatever. Well, no, it's not whatever. There's China, there's Japan, and there's Korea. Three distinctly different countries, and I'll go even further with you. I can, if they three of them were three, if one Chinese, one Korean, and one Japanese were standing naked in front of me, all three are naked, and they're all three standing in front of me, if they were all women, well, if they're just three naked, I would know which was Chinese, which was Japanese, and which was Korean, and it hasn't got anything to do with size or any idiotic thing like that. It has to do with facial feature. There is a distinct difference between a Chinese, a Japanese, and a Korean. And that comes from just years of observing people. That's what I do. I observe people. I don't think it's any great skill. You just have to be conscious of something other than your own dumb face, which most people, the only thing they ever really see are themselves in the mirror. I mean, they don't really ever see people clearly. So that's one thing. And then the languages are very different. When you hear Chinese spoken and you hear Japanese spoken, very different languages. The other thing that is a misnomer or a misconception is the idea of the short Oriental. The only short Asians that I've ever seen are Southeast Asians. Vietnamese, Cambodian, seem to be diminutive people. Chinese are huge. Really tall people. Very big people. Japanese sometimes tend to be slightly built. The Koreans are powerfully built people. Big upper bodies. So, you know what? Screw it. All right, now, moving on, because what the hell am I doing now? Given the Phil Hendry classroom here, you guys don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about, right? Okay, let's move on now. Let's talk about something most of you know something about, Mississippi. And that would be the Mississippi flag. Now, they just voted in Mississippi that they're going to keep their flag. And good for them. They're going to keep their flag with the stars and bars and all that bull crap. And that's cool, man, because that flag is nowhere near as offensive as the Mississippi state bird, which is the mockingbird. That is disgusting. That is vile. And the sooner you change that state bird, man, or I'm going to go down to Mississippi, I'm shooting every freaking mockingbird I see. See, you know, when I concentrate on the Mississippi state flag, it's nowhere near as offensive as, like, the Mississippi state flower, which is, as you know, black people have been years trying to get them to change it. It's the magnolia. That is offensive to every African-American. And it's offensive to all whites. Everybody. We just all hate the magnolia. It sucks. Make it the dogwood or something. A rose. I don't give a crap. Weeds. I think the Mississippi state flower ought to be dichondra. What do you think of that? And then, of course, the Mississippi state motto, which I looked up, Virtute et Armis. Do you guys speak Latin? Oh, no, you don't, do you? Well, guess what? You know what that means in English? Jam it sideways, up left, up in your colon. Can you believe that? Can you believe that a state motto? See, they put it in Latin so you won't know. Virtute et Armis, cram it up your colon. You have 24 hours to change that state motto, man. Or know what for. How about that, Craig? The state bird, the mockingbird. How, you know, that's offensive, man. You know, I was driving through Mississippi once, because just for relaxation, I was cruising. I said, you know, I think I'll take a drive and go to Mississippi. No, actually, I was driving from Florida to California. And this was back in the day when I had long hair and a beard, so you can just, you know, use your imagination, okay? And I'm driving, and I'm in this 1965 GTO, which I had sort of, you know, I'd rebuilt a little bit, and it was a sweet car, but it was even at that point, it was old. It was, you know, 10 years old, 12 years old, something like that. And I'm driving, and I'm going back to L.A. So I remember driving through Mississippi. Now, what happens is, in those days, this is in the late 70s, Interstate 10 was not completely built through portions of the United States. They were still putting the interstate system together. And so, for instance, you could drive east out of Los Angeles and get as far as El Paso before Interstate 10 becomes like Texas 99. You had to, like, take a detour because they're still building it. And such was the case through Mississippi. Parts of 10 were not yet built. So this is like, you know, still Easy Rider is still sort of resonating and echoing in my consciousness as I drive through Mississippi, and sure enough, there's the sign, Interstate 10 detour. You must take Mississippi 286, some side road. And I get off, and I'm driving, and I'm paranoid, you know, thinking that some guy with a big goiter on his neck and a shotgun is going to go, why don't you cut your hair, or whatever he was going to do. And off and off the side of the road, man, I see the sign, Philadelphia, Mississippi, which is a historic place, because I think that's where I could be right. I believe some significant event took place there, and it wasn't good. I don't want to say the three civil rights workers got it there, but I think they might have. But it was I recognize the name. And I'm driving through, and I see rather impoverished people. And, you know, and a lot of them are, most of them are black and bare feet. And, you know, the houses raised above the ground because of the flooding. And I'm just, you know, I've got Florida plates on the car, and I'm thinking maybe that'll save me. If I had California plates, I would have been dead. But I did have the long hair, and I did have the beard, and I'm freaking out. Please, dear Jesus, get me back to the interstate. Now, why? Well, because of it's just prejudice. And, yes, they buried two white civil rights workers. But why should I let that bother me? Anyway, I'm driving along, and I'm going, I got to get the hell out of here, man. I got to find this interstate. Where is it? Finally, I think I see a sign. It says interstate up another, you know, 5 miles. And I see a Mississippi Department of Highways workers, and they're off the side of the road there. And I pull over, and I say to them, do you guys know how far it is to the interstate? And one of them turns around and says, yeah, if you don't dare say it, I'll tell it all. And I might as well have been in freaking Africa. I didn't understand. This is a white guy. I didn't understand a word this guy said. I said, thank you. Don't have a leg. Don't grab my leg? I didn't understand what you said. Okay, I got to go, man. Don't eat weeds. Don't eat weeds. All right, yeah. I don't know, man. I'm gone. And I got up on the road, and I got the hell out of Dodge. But I actually, that was, then I got into Jackson, and I said, well, screw it. I'm going to spend the night. Because I wanted to crash and get some sleep, and then I was going to take off the next day. And I got into Jackson, Mississippi. And this is the, you know, this is the prejudice that you have. I went over to a Burger King next to the motel that I was staying in because I was really hungry. And in those days, I was like I addicted to Whoppers. You know, I used to eat double cheese Whoppers all the time with the big order of fries. So I go in and I get like three Whoppers with cheese. And I remember eating this thing in my little Jackson, Mississippi motel room, marveling at the fact that they tasted just like the ones you got in California. Is that weird? I'm going, yeah, look at it. It's a Whopper in Mississippi. Tastes the same. Where do they get the meat from? It's like it's the same meat. So this is the stupid, silly stuff I'm thinking of. But I finally got the hell out of there, and I figure I'm going into Louisiana. I'll be fine because that's kind of quasi-hip with New Orleans. It's kind of like saves you. You know, New Orleans is sort of the – it's kind of a quasi-hip town. So I got through there, and then I finally got into East Texas. And I'm on my way to California, and sure enough, I'm in like outside of Kilgore, Texas, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a January afternoon. It's about 40 degrees outside, and I see the alternator light go on. And then I smell burning rubber, and I said, this sucks. So I pull off, and I get into a gas station. I pop the hood, and the flywheel on the alternator had locked up and had burned the belt off. So the dude comes out. I go, you know, what about it, man? Oh, hell, the flywheel's all locked up in there. It's all locked up. It'll be 2 days before I get the part of it. I said, you know what? You can have the car. Are you sure, sir? Yeah, just take it. I gave this dude a car. I gave this dude at a gas station in Kilgore, Texas, my car. Because I was so sick of this car, it had been nickel and diming me to death. I said, here, take the car. Here's the pink slip. I'm gone. I grabbed my duffel bag. I went down on the interstate on the on-ramp there. I stuck my thumb out. And I would say within 3 minutes, a car pulls over. I get in. I got to ride all the way to Dallas because I was going to get a plane out of Dallas into Los Angeles. And the car that I got into was a United States Navy recruiter car. And for 250 miles, this dude is talking me into joining the U.S. Navy. How you doing, man? Real good. All right, yeah. I'm in the Navy, and I'm in a recruiting office. Oh, yeah, right in downtown Dallas. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to, you know, got to catch a plane. Well, you know, my wife and I, man, next year we're going to be in Hawaii, and then we're going to be in San Diego. You're going to really see a lot of stuff, you know. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I got to listen to this cat. He's giving me a ride. By the way, if the gentleman who got my car in East Texas is listening to the broadcast right now, I need it back. So I'd be willing to buy it back from you. If you're listening to me in East Texas, Kilgore, I believe, just outside of Dallas by about 4 hours, I want my car back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. So the stock market today went up like 350 points, and if I'd only known, I would have bought. That way I could sell and be rich. If somebody would like to let me know about these things, I don't know why it is I can't buy a freaking stock to save my life. It went up 339 points. This morning was up over 400 points. Now, my in-laws, they're heavily invested in the NASDAQ. That thing went up through the roof. And do I get a taste? Do I have any interest? No, nothing. Nobody tells me squat. So I'm still sitting here on my thumb, and I don't own any stock. And what I, you know what I need? I need one of those cameras from the Twilight Zone where I could take a photograph of something as it appears 3 minutes from now. You remember that Twilight Zone? They took the picture of the tote board at the racetrack, and then you saw the way it looked 3 minutes from it. That's what I need with the stock market. I'll take some pictures of crap before it happens. That way, I'll be rich. Let me tell you something. The day that I invest in the stock market, just drag me outside and shoot me like a dog, like a rabid dog, because that ain't my game. But good luck to the people who've been involved in the stock market. I hope you all lose your... I hope you do very, very well. I think it's going to be fantastic. One other thing that was in the news, Pat Robertson said that he's in favor of abortion in China, and then he retraced his steps and said, I'm sorry, I was just thinking of Chinese, and I wasn't really thinking of humans, you know, when I said that. So, no, I'm not in favor of abortion, although there are a lot of chinks that I wouldn't mind seeing. And then he had to stop and back it up again. He said, no, let me just restate what I mean. The Chinese are fine people for communists, and I don't think there should be any abortions over there unless they're performed by me. No, wait a second. Let me back up. And what's happened, they found out that all the lacquer that those guys put in their hair, Robertson, whoever they are, it just seeps through the skull, gets into the neurotransmitters, whether it's Jimmy, what's-his-face, Baker, the other guy that puts the spray on his head, they got the freaking hard helmet heads. And pretty soon that crap just gets into your brain. The next thing, you know, those neurotransmitters aren't firing the way that they should, and the guy's coming out and saying really smart stuff like more abortions in China. If someone ought to write him a letter and say, hey, Pat, that was really smart. It'll get you elected president. Oh, okay. Well, then I believe it. Great. And they got Jerry Falwell here. I love this one, man, on Greta Von Susteren, who is oddly attractive these days. I don't know what's going on with me. Maybe it's the lacquer I'm putting in my hair. I don't have any? Anyway, Falwell is on here talking about how ethical executions are, and he's got a smile on his face. It's the last time I saw Jerry Falwell smile, really. They're talking about greasing a guy on TV, and Falwell's on there going, well, hell, I think it's wonderful. He looks like the way he looked the last time he went down that big water slide at that Heritage USA deal. He was getting a little water spout up there. And then they had the expert that you see on all the TV shows, the attorney there, Allred, right? I want to be one of the guys they trot out on all of these shows. Me! Every time I flip the TV on, there she is. It's about this. It's about that. It's about something else. There she is. Hey, Glory, can we get you out? Sure! I'm in the middle of a court case. I'm defending again a man against capital murder. Well, it's the Greta Von Susteren show. Yeah, I'll be right there. When's the last time you were actually in a trial, Gloria? Not really. I just negotiate my way out of it. I'm plea bargaining a guy down from first-degree murder to manslaughter. If you don't mind, well, they want you on CNN. I'll be right there. Why don't they just call me up, Phil Henry, expert? Go ahead. Expert on executions. I don't know. I saw a lot of prison movies. I don't know what you want. I'd just like to have my kisser there. But it ain't going to happen. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Let's go over to Los Angeles. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Phil. I wanted to make a comment on your program, and I wanted to make my comment without you hanging up on me, because I have seen and I have heard all of the talk radio. And I have heard your program. You also hang up on people. And
I hang up on people, man, when they're not getting their point across, when they're not making a point at all. I hang up on people, okay? I'm not saying I'm going to hang up on you.
I'm sorry?
I said it doesn't mean I'm going to hang up on you. Did you want to say something?
I would like to say something. I would also like to be heard. I do not want to have the phone hung up on me.
Well, I can't guarantee it.
Then I think that's a weakness in the program. I want to say what I want to say. I am 71 years of age. I have, I will not be bullied, and I think I deserve some respect. And I want to say...
Go ahead and say what you want to say. Don't give me your age and your resume. What do you want to say?
I wanted to say about the situation in Cincinnati.
Yeah?
That I think it is very unfortunate that young black people have had to go out in the street.
Yeah?
And have had to take up arms and throw rocks. But I also see how the police cannot stand by and let that happen. So I see both sides of that situation very clearly. And I think we could go either way on that.
Uh-huh.
The other...
Well, thank you, man.
No, I am not done yet.
Okay, so you see that...
I'm not done yet.
Go ahead.
I think that the situation in Cincinnati is deplorable. I think that the police need to have better understanding of those children and treat the black people in that town better than they do.
Oh, God.
But I also think that the black people need to understand how difficult a job the police have. So I can see both sides.
You can see both sides.
And I think everybody, that's what everybody's missing. There's two sides to every argument.
Okay, we're going
to... You know something? I would like to finish what I want to say.
Go ahead.
And I think that what has happened in Cincinnati, I can see both sides to it.
Please, God.
And so what I wanted to say on your program, I'm 71 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I have seen a lot of this world. And I believe that you should give respect to your callers and not call them scum or garbage or what have you.
Please, God, make her shut up.
And so what I would say is that I see both sides. And that's why I'm calling your program.
This is Phil Henry's show.
And I just want you to know that. Because of all the things that I've said in my life and time.
We won't be right back.
I believe that my husband, he worked for 35 years for the railroad company. And he was always a man that could do a lot of different things. Just a man, I loved him very much. You know, I never cheated on him, not in 35 years. Well, maybe the last year of his life, because there wasn't a whole lot left of him then. He had been hit by a railroad train. And so that's all I'm saying, you know. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying the police should treat the children in Cincinnati better because my husband was hit by a train. All right, and I think that ties it all together, see. But all you talk show hosts, you don't make no sense. And that's all I'm trying to say. But I see both sides to being hit by a train. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad. You might ask me, well, how can being hit by a train good? Well, it can be good if, for instance, it knocks you into a higher income bracket.